good, thought Sophie. She slashed her legs free and went across to the headless figure in the throne. It was getting on her nerves. No, my friend, Hal said to the Scarecrow. The Scarecrow had hopped right among the bones and was pushing them this way and that with its leg. No, you won't find her heart here. Her fire demon will have got that. I think it's had the upper hand of her for a long time now. Sad, really. As Sophie took off her shawl and arranged it decently across Prince Justin's headless shoulders, Hal said, I think the rest of what you were looking for is over here. He walked toward the throne with the Scarecrow hopping beside him. Typical, he said to Sophie. I break my neck to get here and I find you peacefully tidying up. Sophie looked up at him. As she had feared, the hard black and white daylight coming through the broken wall showed her that Hal had not bothered to shave or tidy his hair. His eyes were still red-rimmed, and his black sleeves were torn in several places. There was not much to choose between Hal and the Scarecrow. Oh, dear, Sophie thought. He must love Miss Angorian very much. I came for Miss Angorian, she explained. And I thought if I arranged for your family to visit you, it would keep you quiet for once, Hal said disgustedly. But no. Here the Scarecrow hopped in front of Sophie. I was sent by Wizard Solomon, it said in its mushy voice. I was guarding his bushes from the birds in the waste when the witch caught him. He cast all of his magic that he could spare on me and ordered me to come to his rescue. But the witch had taken him to pieces by then, and the pieces were in various places. It has been a hard task. If you had not come and talked me to life again, I would have failed. It was answering the question Sophie had asked it before they both rushed off. So when Prince Justin ordered finding spells, they must have kept pointing to you, she said. Why was that? To me, or to his skull, said the Scarecrow. Between us, we are the best part of him. And Percival is made of Wizard Solomon and Prince Justin? Sophie said. She was not sure Letty was going to like this. The Scarecrow nodded its craggy turnip face. Both parts told me that the witch and her fire demon were no longer together, and I could defeat the witch on her own, it said. I thank you for giving me 10 times my former speed. Hal waved it aside. Bring that body with you to the castle, he said. I'll sort you out there. Sophie and I have to get back before that fire demon finds a way of getting inside my defences. He took hold of Sophie's skinny wrist. Come on. Where are those 7-league boots? Sophie hung back. But Miss Angorian... Don't you understand? Hal said, dragging at her. Miss Angorian is the fire demon. If it gets inside the castle, then Calcifer's had it, and so have I. Sophie put both hands over her mouth. I knew I'd made a mess of it, she said. It's been in twice already, but she... It went out. Oh, Lord, groaned Hal. Did it touch anything? The guitar, Sophie admitted. Then it's still in there, said Hal. Come on! He pulled Sophie over to the smashed wall. Follow us carefully, he shouted back to the Scarecrow. I'm going to have to raise a wind. No time to look for those boots, he said to Sophie as they climbed over the jagged edges into the hot sunlight. Just run and keep running, or I won't be able to move you. Sophie helped herself along with her stick and managed to break into a hobbling run, stumbling among the stones. Hal ran beside her, pulling her. Wind leapt up, whistling, then roaring, hot and gritty, and grey sand climbed around them in a storm that pinged on the pottery fortress. By that time, they were not running, but skimming forward in a sort of slow-motion lope. The stony ground sped past underneath. Dust and grit thundered around them, high overhead and streaming far away behind. It was very noisy and not at all comfortable, but the waste rocketed past. It's not Calcifer's fault, Sophie yelled. I told him not to say.
He wouldn't, anyway, Hal shouted back. I knew he'd never give away a fellow fire demon. It was always my weakest flank.
I thought Wales was, Sophie screamed.
No, I left that deliberately, Hal bellowed. I knew I'd be angry enough to stop her if she tried anything there. I had to leave her an opening, see? The only chance I had of coming at Prince Justin was to use that curse she'd put on me to get near her.
So you were going to rescue the prince, Sophie shouted. Why did you pretend to run away? To deceive the witch?
Not likely, Hal yelled. I'm a coward. Only way I can do something this frightening is to tell myself I'm not doing it.
Oh, dear, Sophie thought, looking round at the swirling grit. He's being honest, and this is a wind. The last bit of the curse has come true.
The hot grit hit her thunderously, and Hal's grip hurt.
Keep running, Hal bawled. You'll get hurt at this speed.
Sophie gasped and made her legs work again. She could see the mountains clearly now, and a line of green below that was the flowering bushes. Even though yellow sand kept swirling in the way, the mountains seemed to grow, and the green line rushed toward them until it was hedge-high.
All my flanks were weak, Hal shouted. I was relying on Suliman being alive. Then when all that seemed to be left of him was Parsifal, I was so scared I had to go out and get drunk. And then you go and play into the witch's hands.
I'm the eldest, Sophie shrieked. I'm a failure.
Garbage, Hal shouted. You just never stop to think.
Hal was slowing down. Dust kicked up round them in dense clouds. Sophie only knew the bushes were quite near because she could hear the rush and rattle of the gritty wind in the leaves. They plunged in among them with a crash, still going so fast that Hal had to swerve and drag Sophie in a long, skimming run across a lake.
And you're too nice, he added,
above the lap-lap of the water and the patter of sand on the water-lily leaves.
I was relying on you being too jealous to let that demon near the place.
They hit the steamy shore at a slow run. The bushes on either side of the green lane thrashed and heaved as they passed, throwing birds and petals into a whirlwind behind them. The castle was drifting swiftly down the lane toward them, with its smoke streaming back in the wind. Hal slowed down enough to crash the door open and shot Sophie and himself inside.
Michael! He shouted. It wasn't me who let the scarecrow in, Michael said guiltily.
Everything seemed to be normal. Sophie was surprised to discover what a short time she had really been away. Someone had pulled her bed out from under the stairs, and Percival was lying on it, still unconscious. Letty and Martha and Michael were gathered round it. Overhead, Sophie could hear Mrs. Fairfax's voice and Fanny's, combined with ominous swishings and thumpings that suggested that Howell's spiders were having a hard time. Hal let go of Sophie and dived toward the guitar. Before he could touch it, it burst with a long, melodious boom. Strings flailed. Splinters of wood showered Hal. He was forced to back away with one tattered sleeve over his face. And Miss Angorian was suddenly standing beside the hearth, smiling. Hal had been right. She must have been in the guitar all this time, waiting for her moment.
Your witch is dead, Hal said to her.
Isn't that too bad? Miss Angorian said, quite unconcerned. Now I can make myself a new human who will be much better. The curse is fulfilled. I can lay hands on your heart now. And she reached down into the grate and plucked Calcifer out of it. Calcifer wobbled on top of her clenched fist, looking terrified. Nobody move, Miss Angorian said warningly. Nobody dared stir. Hal stood stillest of all.
Help!
Calcifer said weakly. Nobody can help you, said Miss Angorian. You are going to help me control my new human. Let me show you. I have only to tighten my grip. Her hand that was holding Calcifer squeezed until its knuckles showed pale yellow. Howl and Calcifer both screamed. Calcifer beat this way and that in agony. Howl's face turned bluish, and he crashed to the floor like a tree falling, where he lay as unconscious as Percival. Sophie didn't think he was breathing. Miss Angorian was astonished. She stared at Howl.
"He's faking," she said.
"No, he's not!"
Calcifer screamed, twisted into a writhing spiral shape.
"His heart's really quite soft. Let go!"
Sophie raised her stick, slowly and gently. This time she thought for an instant before she acted.
"Stick," she muttered. "Beat Miss Angorian, but don't hurt anyone else."
Then she swung the stick and hit Miss Angorian's tight knuckles the biggest crack she could. Miss Angorian let out a squealing hiss like a wet log burning and dropped Calcifer. Poor Calcifer rolled helplessly on the floor, flaming sideways across the flagstones and roaring huskily with terror. Miss Angorian raised a foot to stamp on him. Sophie had to let go of her stick and dive to rescue Calcifer. Her stick, to her surprise, hit Miss Angorian again on its own, and again, and again. But of course it would, Sophie thought. She had talked life into that stick. Mrs. Pentstemon had told her so. Miss Angorian hissed and staggered. Sophie stood up, holding Calcifer, to find her stick drubbing away at Miss Angorian and smoking with the heat of her. By contrast, Calcifer did not seem very hot. He was milky blue with shock. Sophie could feel that the dark lump of Howl's heart was only beating very faintly between her fingers. It had to be Howl's heart she was holding. He had given it away to Calcifer as his part of the contract, to keep Calcifer alive. He must have been sorry for Calcifer, but all the same, what a silly thing to do. Fanny and Mrs. Fairfax hurried through the door from the stairs carrying brooms. The sight of them seemed to convince Miss Angorian that she had failed. She ran for the door, with Sophie's stick hovering over her, still clouting at her.
"Stop her!" Sophie shouted. "Don't let her get out! Guard all the doors!"
Everyone raced to obey. Mrs. Fairfax put herself in the broom cupboard with her broom raised. Fanny stood on the stairs. Letty jumped up and guarded the door to the yard, and Martha stood by the bathroom. Michael ran for the castle door, but Percival leaped up off the bed and ran for the door too. His face was white, and his eyes were shut, but he ran even faster than Michael. He got there first, and he opened the door. With Calcifer so helpless, the castle had stopped moving. Miss Angorian saw the bushes standing still in the haze outside and raced for the door with inhuman speed. Before she reached it, it was blocked by the scarecrow, looming up with Prince Justin hung across its shoulders, still draped in Sophie's lace shawl. It spread its stick arms across the door, barring the way. Miss Angorian backed away from it. The stick beating at her was on fire now. Its metal end was glowing. Sophie realized it could not last much longer. Luckily, Miss Angorian hated it so much that she seized hold of Michael and dragged him in its way. The stick had been told not to hurt Michael. It hovered, flaming. Martha dashed up and tried to pull Michael away. The stick had to avoid her too. Sophie had got it wrong as usual. There was no time to waste.
"Calcifer," Sophie said, "I shall have to break your contract. Will it kill you?"
"It would, if anyone else broke it," Calcifer said hoarsely. "That's why I asked you to do it. I could tell you could talk life into things. Look what you did for the scarecrow and the skull."
"Then have another 1,000 years, Sophie said, and willed very hard as she said it, in case just talking was not enough. This had been worrying her very much. She took hold of Calcifer and carefully nipped him off the black lump, just as she would nip a dead bud off a stalk. Calcifer whirled loose and hovered by her shoulder as a blue teardrop.
"I feel so light," he said.
Then it dawned on him what had happened.
"I'm free," he shouted.
He whirled to the chimney and plunged up it out of sight.
I'm free!
Sophie heard him shout overhead faintly as he came out through the chimney pot of the hat shop. Sophie turned to Hal with the almost dead black lump, feeling doubtful in spite of her hurry. She had to get this right, and she was not sure how you did.
Well, here goes, she said.
Kneeling down beside Hal, she carefully put the black lump on his chest in the leftish sort of place she had felt hers in when it troubled her and pushed.
Go in, she told it. Get in there and work.
And she pushed and pushed. The heart began to sink in and to beat more strongly as it went. Sophie tried to ignore the flames and scuffles by the door and to keep up a steady, firm pressure. Her hair kept getting in her way. It fell across her face in reddish, fair hanks, but she tried to ignore that too. She pushed. The heart went in. As soon as it had disappeared, Hal stirred about. He gave a loud groan and rolled over onto his face.
Hal's teeth, he said.